Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This will be our focus for the rest of our time together. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. These words, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is our subject this morning, the knowledge of the truth. Well, just before we look at that particular verse, verse 7 in detail, just to give some context for us this morning, this is the letter of the Apostle Paul, written to somebody called Timothy. And this letter is known as one of the pastoral epistles, the pastoral letters. Why are they called pastoral letters? Well, because they are written to those who were called to be pastors or leaders of the church. That is why they are known by that title, the pastoral epistles. In these letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, which is just after this letter, there are qualifications and instructions for leaders of the church, teaching for pastors, and this is the great purpose of them. But of course, when we read these pastoral epistles or letters, well, there is much for all of us to learn. It's not just for pastors and ministers. There is much for all of us to learn and to gain precious things from. And particularly this chapter in 2 Timothy is very important for us, very interesting for us, particularly at this moment in history. This chapter is speaking about the very last days. The very last days. The last days of what? Well, many of you will know that the Bible teaches that the present world in which we live will not remain forever. This world that we know and that we see around us, it will not last. It will come to an end. This is very clearly the teaching of Scripture. The world had a beginning, of course. God created the world in 6 days and rested the seventh, and we believe that, of course, that the world has a beginning. God is our creator. But just as God created the world, God gave the world beginning, he will bring an end to this world. That is very clearly the teaching of Scripture. And there is much instruction in the Scriptures that teach us that when we are about to approach the end of the world, there will be signs, so we can tell in some way that the end of the world is approaching. There will be signs, discernible signs that we can see and we can know. The end of the world is very soon. And this is why the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy here. Well, this chapter particularly focuses on these things. Look at verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, perilous times, times that will be hard to live through. That is how we know that the end of the world is near. There'll be perilous times, very difficult times, unprecedented times in the history of the world. And while we won't turn to it, but we could even do a study on this in the remainder of our time, but the Lord Jesus Christ spoke much about those last days. Matthew 24, for example, he said that in the last days there will be wars, there will be rumors of wars, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and well, we've seen that in the last 100 and 150 years. There will also be famines, there will also be pestilences, plagues, viruses, earthquakes in diverse places. And these will be seen perhaps on a greater and more noticeable scale than ever before. The whole world will see these things. They won't be just located in different parts of the world. No, the whole world at the very last time, the last days, the whole world will be made aware that there are these things, plagues, earthquakes, and well, I don't need to speak very much about that after all that has gone on in the last 6 months. But also, the state of the world will get worse. The character of society will get morally worse. It will degenerate. And we read earlier, there was a great list of how society will degenerate and will become worse. I won't go through the whole list because, we need to keep an eye on the time, but just look at verse 2. In the last days, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Everybody will love themselves. Everybody will put themselves first. And, we can see that in this society, in this present time, everybody, they look after number one, my interests. They have to come first. Everybody else around me has to live according to my interests. This is a very selfish society in which we live in, more than ever before. In the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. They will be covetous, we read, after that. And this is a covetous society. Materialism, consumerism. We must have as much as we possibly can. We're a greedy, covetous society. Never content with what we have. We must have more. Boasters, proud. It's very proud society. We're encouraged to be proud in this society. Pride is a good thing. That's what they teach us. And all of these things, I'm not going to go through the whole list. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, those who reject God, those who speak evil things about God and hate God. Isn't that what we see nowadays? Great books and volumes of books being written about atheism and about how God doesn't exist and it's all a load of rubbish. This is a blasphemous society. And so all of these, I just give you a sample, a taste of all these things, but this is what the Apostle Paul is teaching Timothy about, the very last days. But dear friends, our focus has to come to verse 7, because this is what I want to speak about this morning. This will be another sign of the last days, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, ever learning and never able. This is what we see in our society. This is a society, it prizes learning. It esteems learning and education. We are the most educated society that has ever lived. More people globally go to school and university than at any point in human history. And generally speaking, that's a good thing. Before I launch into this, we're not against education, of course not. We encourage education. We encourage people to read as widely as possible. A good Christian is always one who reads much. We're for education, of course. So many Christians down throughout history have established schools. So I'm not talking against education, but the teaching of the apostle here is that in the last days, even education will be corrupted, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In the last days, even education will not benefit us. Even education will be of no profit to society. And we do seem to be seeing that this day. In this age, so many people, they're so educated, but we see society getting worse. There doesn't seem to be any benefit from it. We're not gaining anything from all this learning. The world seems to be degenerating. People, in society, they seem to be getting more confused, even about the most basic things of life in this educated society. Gender, for example, we don't even know what a woman is and what a man is. This used to be the most basic thing that we all knew, the difference between a man and a woman. Now, we don't know. There are academics and scholars. What is a man? What is a woman? We don't know. In this time of learning, Well, learning is not benefiting us. This is what the apostle is teaching us. And even on an individual level, well, we spend all this money trying to go to university. And you know, sometimes people come out even worse than they were before, less intelligent than they were when they went in, it seems. So this is a sign of the last days. But how will this happen? Well, let's look at this and consider this. Let me point out to you what has happened with learning and education. Well, first of all, what people have done wrong is they have made an idol out of education. They've made an idol out of learning. Education, well, this has become the meaning of life for so many people. This is the meaning of life, to be educated. This is the goal of life. This is the aim. Education has become an idol. For so many parents, their goal, their great hope for their children is that they become as educated as possible. The best education so that they can go on to become doctors and lawyers and so on. No parent, or hardly any parent nowadays, they don't think about God. They don't think about leading their children to God and teaching them of Him. They don't think about opening up the Bible and raising their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord so that they will become godly men, godly women. No, that's not really that important. We want to educate them so that they can become doctors and lawyers. The Bible, well, that doesn't really do anything. Education is greater. That has become the idol. This is the meaning of life. This is how you have a good life. Nothing to do with God. This is the way of the world nowadays. And that's a very sad thing, because we know from the scriptures that an educated man without God has absolutely nothing. But an uneducated man who does have God, he has all things. That's how we think as Christian people. But this world has made an idol out of education. Education in our modern society is seen as the answer to all of our problems. What is the answer to racism? We see much racism in society now. What's the answer that everyone gives? People need to be educated. What's the answer to cut crime in society? You need to educate people. What's the answer to poverty? You need to educate people. Get them out of the poverty line so they can get better jobs. God, the Bible, the gospel, it's all forgotten. We don't need the Bible. Whenever anyone mentions the answer for society to make this world a better place, you have to bring them into the churches. You have to teach them the gospel. Oh no, everyone says. Just educate them. That will be the best thing. This is the answer to the world's problems, not God. You see, we've replaced education. We've replaced God, rather, with education. This is the way. Education is the answer, and God is not the answer anymore. Dear friends, this is what it will be like in the last days, ever learning and never able. And well, because education has taken the place of God, education, in fact, has become very anti-God in recent days. Have you seen that? The place where you find the most anti-God ideas and philosophies and teaching is in the education system. It's in the universities. The schools are not teaching about God, about the Bible. They're teaching about evolution. They're teaching about atheism. They're teaching ungodly things, things that go against the Word of God, things that go against God's created order, things that go against our conscience. You know, we all have a conscience. The Bible tells us this. And upon our consciences are written the laws of God. God's laws that are in this word, you know, they are written on our consciences. We know what is right. We know what is wrong by instinct, naturally. But what does the education system do? It educates us to ignore your conscience. Ignore your conscience. Don't listen to your conscience. That's what the education system is doing now. We see so many things in this world. We know it's not right, but we are being re-educated. Ignore your conscience. Ignore everything that you know is right. The education system has become anti-God. Like every idol that we erect in our lives, this is what happens. Well, it becomes anti-God. But dear friends, we must take the lessons of these things. Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You must have a knowledge of the truth. This is a way out. What is truth? What is truth? Well, we could talk a long time about what is truth. But again, it seems that truth nowadays is not taught in schools and so on. Nowadays, we just teach opinions. There is no truth anymore. One person has an opinion and he might be right. Another person has a different opinion. He might be right also. That's what we're taught in schools. There's no truth. Everybody's opinion is valid. That is what we're taught. Truth has been pushed out of the door, pushed out of the window. In fact, if you try and assert anything that is true, that's immoral. For example, in religion, in Christianity, we say that Christianity is the only true religion, the only true way to God. It is truth. And how does the world look at us? Oh, you're immoral. That is wrong. To say that you are true and everyone else is wrong, how dare you? How wicked, how evil. Because we don't believe in truth anymore. Everybody's opinion is equally valid. But dear friends, this word of God, we must come to the knowledge of the truth. Christianity, the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ presents himself as truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is what the Lord himself said. He is the only way to God. I am the truth, he says. And this is what we have to understand. What is truth? Truth is not a philosophy or a concept. Truth is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what truth is. If you ever seek truth earnestly and sincerely, you will always come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have truth. You may have half truth, but you don't have the whole truth. It's only in Christ that you have the truth. The truth about God, about who God is. Again, people are always learning about God. You speak to people, oh, I've read this book about religion. I've read this book about Judaism. People are always learning. But dear friends, you will never know the truth about God unless you actually know Christ. He is the truth about God. Not speculation, the truth about God, what he is like, what his attributes are like, what his plan is, the plan of salvation, the way to God. You can only know the truth about God through Christ. Christ, well, he tells us the truth about man, about us. What is the truth about men, about mankind? We are sinners, dear friends. And well, again, we ought to know this. That's what we ought to know when we look back at history. Again, people read so much about history, always learning about history, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. They know so much about certain periods in history, certain empires, and yet they can't seem to understand that we are all sinners. But that is the greatest lesson of history. When you look at history, what do you see? You see violence, you see war, you see oppression, you see slavery, you see men being wicked to men. This is the lesson that you actually ought to learn about history. But we are all sinners. Yet so many people, they're always learning, but they don't grasp this. We are sinners, well, as a race, as individuals, even as children. We are sinners. You don't have to teach children to be naughty. You don't have to teach children to disobey, to be dishonest. You have to teach them how to be good, yes. But you don't have to teach them to be sinners because we by nature are sinners. This is what we ought to learn. It's the most basic lesson that we take. when we look at one another and the world around us. But dear friends, we're running out of time. Let me tell you, how can you come to the knowledge of the truth? This is what is being presented to us. We're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How do we do this? How do we come to a knowledge of the truth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's not through our heads. It's through our hearts. This is how we come to a knowledge of the truth. When we learn something, normally it goes into our head. But when we come to a knowledge of the truth, a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it goes into our hearts. That is the great difference. We love the truth. We don't just know the truth. We love the truth. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I have to ask all of you here and all listening, if you are a Christian, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it just head knowledge for you? You just know about the Lord Jesus Christ, like he's some academic subject. You know a lot about the Bible. You know a lot about the history of the Bible. But you don't actually know the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have a relationship with him. You don't love him. This is how you have a knowledge of the truth. It's not through the head. It's through the heart. You know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we read, "We love him because he first loved us." The Lord Jesus Christ, he loved us. He made his love known to us when he came down from heaven to earth, not simply by being a healer or being a miracle worker, not simply by his sermons, the words that he said, glorious though they were. The Lord Jesus Christ showed his love for us in going to the cross, dying for us, taking upon himself the punishment for our sin. That's love. To give his life, to shed his blood, that shows the divine love of God for us. He knew no sin. He is the Holy Son of God, but he took upon himself our sins. And he suffered and died because of his love for us. This is love divine, all loves excelling the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, willingly taking upon himself the punishment for our sin, that we may be forgiven. Dear friends, do you know this gospel? Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Faith in the truth? This is the truth, that when Christ was dying on the cross, it wasn't just an ordinary death, a death of a mere man. He was taking upon himself the punishment for sins that you have committed in your life. That's the knowledge of the truth, and we come to it by faith. Dear friends, we're almost entirely out of time. This is so important. Remember, this is a sign of the last times. And these are the very last times. Well, perhaps I'm being presumptuous, but when we look at the world, we've already considered this. When we look at the world, we've seen wars. We've seen great wars, world wars. We've seen the moral decay of society. We've seen in the last 6 months a pestilence, a virus. And we see people ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What does that say to us? It says that the Lord Jesus Christ is very near. The end of the world is very near. This is what it teaches us. So, dear friends, it won't be very long before you stand before God. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will return and you will stand before him. You must come to him, dear friends. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Do you have rest for your soul? No academic teaching can give you rest for your soul. No PhD No degree, no doctorate. That can't give you rest for your soul. It's only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That gives you rest for your soul, so that you know that when you appear before God, you are safe. You will not be condemned because Christ was condemned for me. Dear friends, this is so important, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What a tragedy in today's society that you can come to the knowledge of the truth. You can have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him. Go to him. Pray to him. Give me knowledge of the truth, Lord. Give me faith that Christ has died for me and he will hear you and answer you and bless you eternally. May the Lord bless these things to us. Please turn with me in your hymn books just before we close to our second hymn, hymn number 432. Hymn 432. This will help us as we close our thinking. Hymn 432. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. Came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk, till travelling days are done. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, lead us all to that light of the world, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us that understanding, give us that saving knowledge of the truth that Christ has come into this world to save sinners and that he receives all those who look unto him by faith. Grant us that gift of faith. May we not be foolish, because we see that great and coming day fast approaching. O Lord, help us. Save our souls, we pray. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.